right, I'd ask you to turn in the scriptures this morning to Matthew chapter 22. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 22. I want to begin reading in verse number 33. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our Father, we thank you this morning. We have this opportunity that we can gather ourselves together, that we can worship here this morning in spirit and in truth. We thank you for these that have gathered here together in thy house this morning. We pray thy richest blessings upon them. We pray that each of us today will listen to your word and your spirit. And Father, today we'll have a greater love for you. And Father, we ask you this morning now that you might give thy servant the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You might allow us this morning to speak those words which need to be spoken. And Father, today we'll thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. For he loved us and gave himself for us. In his wonderful holy name we pray. Amen and amen. A young lady received an email from her boyfriend, and it said, Darling, I love you. I'd climb the highest mountain for you. I'd swim the deepest river for you. I'd even fight a tiger in a phone booth for you. And if it's not raining, I'll see you tonight. You know, you think about that this morning, and that's kind of the way some people have a love for the Lord. But we find this morning Jesus is going to teach us a great lesson today about our love for God. And in our particular passage today, in this particular chapter, he had been being questioned by the Sadducees and the Herodians and now the Pharisees. And as the Pharisees came to him, they ask him a question. And that question was, what is the great commandment in the law? Now, these were the people who had taken the law of God and taken the commandments that we find in the Old Testament, the ceremonial law and the civil law and many other laws, and they had coded them and subdivided them into some 613 is what one person counted this morning, and they said you had to obey all of these laws in order to please God. And if you disobeyed one of these orders, then God was not pleased with you and would not accept you. And they were always arguing, always trying to figure out which was the greatest, which was number one. So here they come to Jesus and they ask him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? What's the number one commandment in the law? And when he answers them, he kind of left them a little speechless. Well, there was no debate and there was no argument with them. For Jesus said the first commandment, the great commandment, the greatest commandment is very simply this: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You see, it's the first and the great commandment. It's first because of its antiquity. This morning, before God ever gave the Ten Commandments, before this morning he ever called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, when he formed man out of the dust and the dirt of the ground and fashioned him and breathed into his nostrils and made him a living soul, I believe this commandment was placed into the heart of a man on that day, that he should love his Lord and he should love his God with everything that he had. And it's the antique law of the ages that our love for God this morning is to be supreme. It's also a great commandment today because of the dignity of it. You see, it deals this morning not with our relationship with each other. It deals not today with our relationships with a government, but it deals with our relationship with the Almighty, the creator of this universe, the creator of all human life today, the one who stood in eternity's past and spoke into existence everyone and everything that you and I see this morning. That is who it deals with today. And it's the great law today, the comprehensiveness of it. Why? Because it demands our all. Every part of us this morning is demanded in this first and great commandment that Jesus spoke about here to these Pharisees on that day. You see, he takes us in this commandment and he teaches us many things. And sometimes people want to take it apart, and we can look at the heart, we can look at the soul, and we can look at the mind. And we can look at that today. But you know, I want to believe this morning that Jesus was teaching a great lesson here. That Jesus was not simply about taking this apart and dealing with the mind and the heart and the soul. But Jesus was teaching a lesson to those Pharisees and those gathered with him that day. And he was also teaching us a great lesson this morning. And Jesus, in this verse of Scripture and in this commandment today, I believe, teaches us, first of all, a need for a passion for God. You see, we need to have hearts this morning that are on fire and burning for the Lord. We need to have a passion for God. The church at Ephesus was a great church. You can read all of the things that were great about it today. They were fundamental in their doctrine. They were sound in their doctrine. They were, this morning, doing everything, it seemed, exactly as it should be done. Yet Jesus said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. We can talk about what that first love is, but it's very simply this morning what Jesus is speaking about here in our text today. A passionate love for God. A passionate time when God becomes your first love. I don't know, we were singing that song a little while ago, and as we were singing that song, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. Well, that's a great song, isn't it? Because we were saved by the blood of the Crucified One. And you know, sometimes you need to look back and you need to remember. And God needs to teach us today what a great thing that he did for us when he saved our soul today. When the blood of the Crucified One was applied to our lives and washed away and purged away our sin and our guilt. Do you remember the day that God washed you from your sins? Do you remember the day that you prayed and you cried out unto God, and God in his grace this morning reached down and cleansed you from your sin and your guilt and put your foot on a solid rock and put a new song in your mouth this morning? You know, John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace, and what a wonderful and great song that is this morning. But you know, we think about that second verse when he said, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Do you know how precious that grace appeared the hour you first believed? Do you remember how precious it was when God saved your soul and what joy filled your heart? Do you remember this morning how you felt free for the first time in your life and the burdens had been rolled away? And the fresh breezes of glory were blowing through your soul, and you could have jumped a pew, you could have run through the parking lot, you could have done a lot of things today, and God was saving your soul, and you had a passion and a love for God this morning. That's what Jesus is saying to us here this morning. We need to have a passionate love for God this morning. God's grace should be as precious of us today as we should, as it should have been that hour this morning. One day a man came home from work very tired, and as He sat down in his reclining chair and leaned back the reclining chair, and he got his newspaper and he began to read the newspaper. A few minutes, his little boy came over on his left side and said, "Daddy, I love you." And then Daddy looked over the paper and said, "I love you too, son." A few minutes, the little boy ran around to the right side and he punched his daddy on the arm and he said, "Daddy, I love you." And the daddy said, "I love you too, son." Went back to his newspaper. Just a little while, all at once, the little boy came crashing through the newspaper and landed up in his daddy's lap and put his arms around his neck and hugged him, and he said, "Daddy, I love you," and I just had to do something about it. You know, sometimes we need to love God that way. We just need to do something about it. We need to tell the Lord we love him. You know, the psalmist said, "I love the Lord because he heard my cry." The Bible says that God so loved the world. Yesterday when they were in vacation Bible school, they learned that Jesus loves them. And that they have a friend today that will never forsake them and never leave them. And that the love of God is always there. But you know, this morning we need to love God. We need to have a passionate love for God. Jesus said we need to love the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our heart, and with all our mind. That means with everything that we have. As I said, we could take it apart and we could talk about the heart, we could talk about the soul, and we could talk about the mind. Mark even throws in the strength, with all of our strength. We need to understand this morning, and as we could take all of that apart today. But that's not, I don't believe that's the total lesson that Jesus is all. You see, he's teaching us that we need to have a passionate love for God. That we need to let that passion burn into us as it has burnt before. It also should teach us this morning the priority of our lives. We're to love God first with all this morning. All. As I said, we could take it apart, but it's very simply with Jesus is just saying, hey, everything you've got, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, everything, you're to love God with that. You're to leave nothing out, nothing behind. Give it everything that you have. Let everything this morning be put on the line. That's the priority of your life. That's our total being today, everything that we are. You think about that today. Do you love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul? Are you leaving some of it out today? Some folks say, well, I love our church. Well, I love our church too, and that's great. We should love our church. A few folks say, well, I love our pastor. Well, that's good. I hope you love your pastor. Some folks say, well, I love our choir. I love this and I love that today. You know, above everything else, above everything of loving our church, our choir, our pastor, everything else in this world today, we need to love God. Amen. Right. Now think about that. Above everything else, every priority that we have in our life, we should love God. That is the number one thing that we should do. Because when we love God today with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, this morning it solves most problems that we'll ever have. Now you think about that. It'll solve nearly every problem in this world. If every person in this world, if every person in this community, if every person in this county, if every person in the state of Mississippi was to practice what Jesus said and put the priority of their life into loving God, with all of their heart and all of their mind and all of their soul, you think of how many problems that would solve today. We wouldn't have any problem with people attending church. We wouldn't have any problem with people worshiping God. Would we? No. We wouldn't have any problem this morning with people giving, or a lot of other things this morning that we can look at in life, and we can think about all the problems that we see in our world. But if you begin to love God and put that to priority of your life, it solves all of those problems. Dr. Bob Hamlin, when he used to be the pastor of Harrisburg Baptist Church in Tupelo, and then he became a Southern Baptist evangelist, and I heard him give his testimony at a Calvary Baptist Church over in Tupelo on an occasion at a luncheon they had, and I went to it, and he was talking about when he got saved, and that he was just a young boy, about 15, if I recall correctly, and said he got saved, and said the pastor called him into the office, and he said, "Bobby, I heard you got saved." "Yes, sir." "Bobby, if you got saved and you love God, you'll be baptized and join the church." "Yes, sir." He said about a week later, he called me in. He said, "Bobby, you got saved, got baptized, joined the church. If you love God, you'll be here every service." "Yes, sir." He said, about a week later, he called me in and said, "Bobby, you work down at the grocery store, don't you?" "Yes, sir." "Well, if you love God, you'll tithe of that income." "Yes, sir." And he went on, and he said, you know, he said, every time he said that, I thought, what is he going to think of next? But then he said this, "I love God. And if you love God, that takes care of all of these other problems," you see. We love God today, then becomes a priority of our life to love God. Then all of this other stuff is taken care of. I don't have to fuss at people, you see. I hear people at times say, "Well, you know, I love my family. I love my children. I love my wife." And the next thing you know, they've went down to the casino and blew their money on gambling. You know what that tells me? They didn't really love their wife or their children. "Oh, preacher, how can you say that?" Well, they love that casino more than they love their wife and their children, because that was the priority. Now, you think about it. The fellow says, "I love my children," but he'll go out and spend every dime he's got on booze and get drunk and leave his children home without food. Guess what he liked? He liked the booze and loved the booze more than he loved his children. You see, that's not the, what's the priority. Do we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? That solves so many problems, doesn't it? We love the Lord. Then Jesus said something else. He said, you also have to love your neighbor as yourself. We need to think as much of our neighbor as we think of ourselves. Somebody said, "Who's our neighbor?" Well, read the parable of the Good Samaritan when you get home. We love others as much as we love ourselves. I don't remember who it was, but someone said that I can love the man across the sea, and that's easy. But he said that dude across the street's hard. You know, sometimes that is true, isn't it? It's hard to love our neighbor sometimes. Years ago, when I was just a boy, young boy, we had a Methodist preacher at Smithville named Brother Dexter. Brother Dexter was a good man, and he had a son about the same age as I was, and Brother Detroit Bobbitt was the Baptist preacher, and he had a boy. We were all about the same age, and we done a lot of things. And I remember that next door to the Methodist church was a fellow that was kindly, probably the best neighbor in the world. Let's just put it kindly this morning. But every time Brother Dexter and his wife came out, he'd always speak to him and say, "Hi, how you doing?" And the guy wouldn't even acknowledge him. He'd turn his back to him. Brother Dexter would take care of everything. And every time he'd see him, you know, and I remember one day his boy said, "Daddy, did you know that man hates us? Why do you always speak to him and act nice to him?" And he said, "Because I'm a Christian, son." I didn't think much about it at the time, but through the year, that's made a pretty good impression on me. You know, sometimes it's hard to love our neighbors ourselves, isn't it? But that's what the Lord said we had to do. We have to pray for them. We have to pray for those that despitefully use us. We pray for our enemies this morning. You see, Jesus is teaching us a great lesson in this morning, because he said, on these two hinge the law and the prophets. What does that mean? Well, Paul explains it probably best in Romans 13 when he says, "But to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfilling of the law." You see, if I love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, that takes care of my worship in the Lord. If I love my neighbors myself, I'm not going to go steal his lawnmower. I'm not going to commit adultery with his wife. I'm not going to get mad and take a shotgun and kill him. I'm not going to covet what he has, because I love him as I love myself. Jesus said, the first commandment is very simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And if you do that, then that takes care of most of the problems in your life. And then the second is love your neighbor as yourself. That takes care of the rest of the problem. You realize we could get rid of all law enforcement. We'd get rid of all the jails. We could get rid of so many things if those two simple laws and commandments were practiced in our lives. You say, "Oh, there won't ever be, preacher." I understand that. But that doesn't still delete what Jesus said this morning. My question, do you love God? You say, "Oh, yes." Do you have a passion for the Lord? Do you remember when you first got saved? Is that fire still burning in your heart and your life today? Is loving God the priority of your life? Is he number one? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Then you have to answer that question in your own heart today. My second question is this. Do you know Jesus? You see, that's the word all begins. Because when Jesus comes in your heart, then the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You can't love God till Jesus comes in. You can't love God without the Holy Spirit. Are you born again? Are you saved by the grace of God? Has Jesus' blood been applied to your life? Are you saved by the blood of the crucified? That's the question you have to answer in your own heart this morning. All right, as we stand together, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. For all that you do, we'll praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.